Part 2. The Sea Cook. Chapter 7. I Go to Bristol. It was longer than the squire imagined ere we were ready for the sea, and none of our first plans, not even Dr. Livesey's of keeping me beside him, could be carried out as we intended. The doctor had to go to London for a physician to take charge of his practice, the squire was hard at work at Bristol, and I lived on at the Hall under the charge of old Redruth, the gamekeeper, almost a prisoner, but full of sea dreams and the most charming anticipations of strange islands and adventures. I brooded by the hour together over the map, all the details of which I well remembered. Sitting by the fire in the housekeeper's room, I approached that island in my fancy, from every possible direction. I explored every acre of its surface, I climbed 1,000 times to that tall hill they call the Spyglass, and from the top enjoyed the most wonderful and changing prospects. Sometimes the isle was thick with savages, with whom we fought, sometimes full of dangerous animals that hunted us, but in all my fancies nothing occurred to me so strange and tragic as our actual adventures. So the weeks passed on, till one fine day there came a letter addressed to Dr. Livesey, with this addition, to be opened, in the case of his absence, by Tom Redruth or young Hawkins. Obeying this order, we found, or rather I found, for the gamekeeper was a poor hand at reading anything but print, the following important news. Old Anchor Inn, Bristol, March 1st. Dear Livesey, as I do not know whether you are at the Hall or still in London, I send this in double to both places. The ship is bought and fitted. She lies at anchor, ready for sea. You never imagined a sweeter schooner. A child might sail her. 200 tons, name Hispaniola. I got her through my old friend, who has proved himself through the most surprising trump. The admirable fellow literally slaved in my interest, and so I may say, did everyone in Bristol, as soon as they got wind of what port we sailed for. Treasure, I mean. Redruth, said I, interrupting the letter. Dr. Livesey will not like that. The squire has been talking after all. Well, who's a better right? Growled the gameskeeper. A pretty rum go if Squire ain't to talk for Dr. Livesey, I should think. At that I gave up all attempt at commentary and read straight on. Blandly found himself the Hispaniola, and by the most admirable management got her for the merest trifle. There is a class of men in Bristol monstrously prejudiced against Blandly. They would go the length of declaring that his honest creature would do anything for money, that the Hispaniola belonged to him, and that he sold it to me absurdly high. The most transparent calumnies. None of them dare, however, to deny the merits of the ship. So far there was not a hitch. The workpeople, to be sure, riggers and what not, were most annoyingly slow, but time cured that. It was the crew that troubled me. I wished a round score of men, in case of natives, buccaneers, or the odious French, and I had the worry of the deuce itself to find so much as 6 till the most remarkable stroke of fortune brought me the very man that I required. I was standing on the deck when, by the merest accident, I fell in talk with him. I found he was an old sailor, kept a public house, knew all the seafaring men in Bristol, had lost his health ashore and wanted a good berth as cook to get to sea again. He had hobbled down there that morning, he said, to get a smell of the salt. I was monstrously touched. So would you have been. And, out of pure pity, I engaged him on the spot to be the ship's cook. Long John Silver, he is called, and has lost a leg, but that I regarded as a recommendation, since he lost it in his country's service under the immortal Hawk. He has no pension, Livesey. Imagine the abominable age we live in. Well, sir, I thought I had only found a cook, but it was a crew I had discovered. Between Silver and myself, we got together in a few days a company of the toughest old salts imaginable. Not pretty to look at, but fellows by their faces, of the most indomitable spirit. I declare we could fight a frigate. Long John even got rid of 2 out of the 6 or 7 I had already engaged. He showed me in a moment that they were just the sort of freshwater swabs we had to fear in an adventure of importance.